Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. And Punxsutawney Phil has come out today. It's Groundhog Day to say it's another 2 weeks of great Joshi action.
We're grounding the hogs.
That's right. It's me, Taylor, here, of course, with Kelly. Kelly, what's up?
Yeet. Yeet is up. The yeet stock's going through the roof.
Through the roof. Everyone loves it. Yes, I watched about 3 minutes of the Royal Rumble last night, and I thought, this is the perfect amount of Royal Rumble to watch.
You missed seeing Io Sky and Julia have a kind of mediocre face-off.
Oh, I didn't even realize Julia was in the Rumble.
Julia was in the Rumble and got zero reaction.
I only knew that the 30th surprise entrant was the Traitors, Nikki Garcia.
Yeah.
AKA Nikki Bella. Did she do anything, or did she just come in and then fall out of the ring?
She was in there for a little bit. Didn't really do much of note, though.
All right. But we're not here to talk WWE. We never are, because I would prefer never to talk about it. We're here to talk Joshi, and we've got some action from a lot of different companies, but we are going to start with Seriesm number 6. But before we do, of course, we've got to get the plugs in. Follow us on Twitter at JBomb Audio. It really does feel like, Kelly, now is the time we've got to switch.
Yeah, it's probably time to go jump over to the blue skies.
To blue sky. So maybe next episode we'll enter with our blue sky name. I will say, Kelly, I don't know if you saw this this week, but it does appear that the Jumping Bomb Angels have started a Twitter account.
I looked at that for a good long time, trying to figure out if it was just some fan role play thing or what.
I couldn't figure it out. It may be like, I don't remember when this was, a year or two ago, when like there was some Twitter account that was like, All Japan is going to start uploading shows on YouTube, and everyone got like really excited. And then it turned out it was mostly just someone uploading shows that already existed in worse quality than is already available.
Yeah.
But I did find it funny to log into the Twitter account to see a tweet from Jumping Bomb Angels that said, "Great podcast name." which I agree. I believe it is established. Or I believe we talked about this when we started, when Aaron and I started this podcast. Our other alternative was Crush Pals. but we thought that maybe that would indicate a different type of podcast.
Yeah, that's the Gooner podcast.
Than the one that we were looking to do. So Jumping Bomb Audio it was. But yes, that was on our Twitter, which is at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tame Aimbow. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get right into it. We are going to kick off with Sarism 6, which happened on January 23rd. Kelly, what'd you think about the show?
I really enjoyed this show. Like, there was, I think the top two matches were both very good, and everything else was solid at the very least. Like, I love the energy that these shows have, because everyone goes out there and works really hard and beats the shit out of each other, and it's fun. It's just a fun show.
Easy watch, quick watch as well. Yes. When I opened the video and saw it was only 2 hours and 15 minutes, and then realized that about 30 minutes of that was the intermission.
That was a long intermission for such a short show.
Yeah. You know, maybe make it feel like people are getting their money's worth in the venue, because the show was over 2 hours long.
Yeah,
even though half an hour of it was intermission. But they really sort of just fly by, like 5 matches, you know, easy watches. So yeah, pretty fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like, this is my ideal kind of wrestling show. Like, you're in, you're out, a lot of good stuff. That's all I need.
Yeah, I would say down the card, I don't really have that many thoughts, so this may be sort of like a hybrid in-depth show review, and also not that. But let's just kick off. Let's go through these matches here. The first one, there were some changes to the card that we talked about last time when we previewed the show. The show opened with Victoria Yuzuki defeating Miku Kanai in 9 minutes and 59 seconds. Kanai, the former, what was she called? Kaniac or something in Actress Girls. But anyway,
Kaniac.
What is the name? Hold on, I'll figure it out. Konamik? I don't know. Maybe I wanted it to be the Kanamiac. I thought that this was a pretty fun, solid opening match. It was sort of free of the usual scary Yuzuki moments.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, maybe Kanai is the actress girls person who's best, and of course is the actress girls person that Marigold didn't pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she is, I believe part of T-Hearts. But yeah, it was fun. It was a solid match. This definitely a match where you could see some of that super rookie stuff from Yuzuki, but I thought a very good start to the show.
Yeah, no, I actually really, really like this match. I went 3.75 on it. And a big chunk of that comes from how well-paced and timed out the match was. Like, I love how just they got super close to the time limit draw, but to me it never felt like, oh yeah, this is a time limit draw match. Like, they didn't have the kind of just like, oh, we gotta screw around for a little bit, waste some time. But like, I thought they handled it really well, and it was really great opener. So yeah, I was pretty high on this one.
Yeah, one of those things that makes me think, oh, maybe I would like to see some Marigold wrestlers not in Marigold.
Yeah.
More. Because it was an enjoyable time.
Mm-hmm.
The next match, Honori Hana and Jaguar Yokota defeating Misa Kagura and Yumi Kahoda in 10 minutes and 44 seconds. My main thought this was a fine match, but I haven't really talked about it. I think we talked about her coming back, but haven't since then. Great to see Honori Hana back, someone I really liked before she, I guess now you would call it, had her sabbatical, long sabbatical, but have always enjoyed seeing her and was happy to see her here and have her back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was, like, I thought it was kind of a clunky match, but just the effort everyone was putting into it kind of saved it in that regard for me, where it was just like, oh yeah, they're trying. They're trying to do cool stuff. Like, it's just everyone comes to these Sariism shows, like, fired up to, I guess, put on a good match on their friend's show.
Filled with the passion of Sari.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, fight each other.
I can be the sun god.
The next match was Takumi Iroha defeating Chi-Chi in 12 minutes and 55 seconds. Kelly, we've never really gotten into Chi-Chi talk on this podcast. She did win Rookie of the Year. Now I can't remember what award it was, but did win Rookie of the Year. What'd you think of this match?
I liked this. I think Chi-Chi gets a little bit better every time I see her. So I've been really enjoying watching her matches as of late. And I enjoyed how this one just started off as like a mauling. And it was like, oh yeah, this is just an Iroha squash. And then Chi-Chi kind of started to put stuff together and actually put up a fight.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I agree with you on that. And of course, always like seeing Takumi Iroha, who's always very good. So I thought it was a very... I thought it was another good match, an enjoyable match that I very much enjoyed. Again, as we talked about, many of these matches I just sort of watched and was like, yeah, this is fun. Nothing overstaying its welcome, as we see with some other companies that only overstay their welcome. But yeah, thought it was...
I have a very weird comp for Takumi Iroha.
Okay.
She reminds me a lot of Minoru Tanaka in the way that they are both like effortlessly cool always. Like they just have a good like energy about them where it's just like, yep, everything they do is cool. Okay.
Interesting. I would have never guessed that, I would say. But I guess I can see it. Sort of an interesting...
Like, they never seem like they're trying to be, like, I'm going to go do this cool move. It's just like, no, I do, these are my moves. They just so happen to be rad as hell.
And they're very cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think if I have a different comp for her, but I don't really have a different comp for her. So I guess we'll go with Minoru Tanaka.
Yeah. Minoru Tanaka, just a cool, chill old guy.
The semi-main of this show was the tag team of Bozilla and Mio Momono defeating Kairu Ito and Yurika Oka in 17 minutes and 5 seconds. I really liked this match. I thought it was a fun mix of teams. Obviously, partially Mio and Yurika going at each other instead of teaming, as they've been doing a lot as of late. But I just thought it was a lot of fun. The size differences. You know, Mio is obviously great. Bozilla is a lot of fun. So I just really vibed with this, you know, not a blow away. I probably would have gone like 3.5, but a very enjoyable 3.5.
I was 4 on this one. Like my notes start with, this was a hoot. And you know what? It was. The Bozilla Mio Momono tag team is just inspired. I would love to see these two get a tag run somewhere because it was just so fun seeing them together. The Momono and Oka stuff was awesome. The closing stretch between Bozilla and Oka was awesome too. Like I really enjoyed that closing stretch. And just like a really great mix of talent here. So that made for a really fun match. And yeah, I went 4 on it. Just great semi-main.
Maybe more proof of watching Marigold wrestlers not in Marigold.
Yeah.
There you go. Proving our point. And then the main event, the most hype match of the show, obviously, was Mako Satomura defeating Sari in 16 minutes and 35 seconds. Kelly, is Mako going to lose a single match on her retirement tour?
It seems like no. Because she's probably, we'll talk about it later, but she's beaten Unagi. Like, that's happening.
Well, I will say she does currently have the Sendai Girls World title, and I would think...
Does she retire as champion?
She would have to lose it, but I
My
thought...
theory is, like, maybe... Because it felt like... I enjoyed this match a lot, but it felt like it ended a little early to me, like they were leaving some in the tank. And maybe they have a rematch and Sari beats Satomura for the Sendai Girls title.
Mm. Well, also, I did think it was interesting because they had the video package before the match, which was all about, you know, Sari as a rookie back in 2011, being young, you know. And it's like, oh, she was beaten. And you would think the end point might be like, Sari wins.
Yeah.
But no, I did look it up. Mako Satomura last lost a singles match in July of 2024, which was
the Bayley match?
The much hyped, yes, Bayley house show match. A match, did we talk about that on here? A match that I thought was fairly boring. Well, people are like, it's so good. It's so good. And I'm like, this is a house show match.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, maybe people's standards are low in WWE.
I don't recall if I watched it or not. If I did, it left no impression.
But other than that, the result, which I guess doesn't matter. Sari's lost a lot on these shows.
Yeah.
Excellent match. I thought it was very good. I went 4.25 stars.
That's where I was.
Dave Meltzer went 4.25 stars. Kelly went 4.25 stars. Wow. Everyone is in agreement. It's been decided. Yeah, just great hard hitting. I had one complaint, which is not a fault of the match, but a fault of the camera, which is that on the first Scorpio Rising that Mako tried to hit, you could not see that Sari blocked it. You could sort of tell by the way that she reacted that she immediately got up, but it was just that the camera was sort of in the wrong place.
Okay.
Like, I think it was just the hard camera, which is like not their fault. And at the end of the day, I was like, oh, I got it. But for a moment, I was like, did she hit it?
Damn, she's got to go back to the performance center.
And then she definitely hit it on the second one because she looked like she crunched Sari's neck on the second one. That move is so weird to me because I was trying to think of like another move that is like this, but it has such a wide range of like, wow, that looks killer. Like she really got her and oh, that did not look good.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I could think of, and this is not at all the same, but the fact that a thing that's always funny to me is Miyu Yamashita has the skull kick, which that is one that sometimes, depending on how she hits it, like you can be like, oh my God, she killed her. Or like, oh, she barely grazed her, especially with taller opponents.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking it's so funny that that's not the finisher and the finish is Crash Rabbit Heat, which I don't think ever really looks all that great. But yeah, I guess the skull kick would be one where it can look killer. Like there's all those gifs out there of her hitting it, but matched up with the wrong opponent and she like hits them in the arm. But this one looked good that Mako hit in this match. Yeah, great match. Obviously not at the heights, as we talked about last episode, of some of the ones that she had in the past, like in 2019, but very good. And happy to see that Mako is still going, because I don't remember what it was, a match in December or something when I thought, oh, Mako looks a little... Was it the Tokyo Joshi match?
I thought for me it was the... she had a match against Sari and Oh that she looked kind of bad in, I think.
Yeah, it was some match where I was like, what's happening here? This isn't really looking great.
Yeah.
But may have just been a fluke.
Yeah, or just because, ring rust.
Yeah. Because she looked great here. Great match. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I guess the time in NXT UK paid off.
Yeah, it was so funny in that video package being like, here is their history. They are fighters. They get in the ring and they beat each other up. And then they both went to WWE. And I was like, oh, God, don't remind me, please. Who had the more successful career? It's Mako, right? Was she the UK women's champion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was just on a show that no one watched.
Yes. She was, yes, she was NXT UK women's champion for 451 days.
Yeah, no, she was just on a show that no one ever paid attention to.
Now, Kelly, can you name me any person that Mako Satomura defeated during that title reign?
Kaylee Ray?
She defeated Kaylee Ray for the title.
Okay. Is Lyra Valkyria?
Is not on here.
Damn it. Nightshade.
I would say there's at least two or three people.
Joe Coffey.
That I think you could get. I think are gettable.
Okay. Who else would she have?
I can also give you two of the stipulations of the title matches, if that might help you.
Sure. Let's go stipulations. Maybe that'll help.
All right. Well, the first one won't help you that much. The first one was a Japanese street fight. Which really can't help you because I think it's Japanese because of Mako.
Did they just play the Orient Express music the whole time?
But the other one, Kelly, was a NXT UK women's title World of Darkness match, and it was not evil.
Ah, damn. Was it, who's the spooky one? Wendy Chu? Was it her?
No, not Wendy Chu, but it is one of the spooky ones, I believe. But one of the OG spookies.
Damn, I don't remember who the other spooky ones are.
Well, I'll...
Bray Wyatt.
No. here's the list of people she defeated with the title. Someone named Amelie?
Sure.
Never heard of that person. Stevie Turner.
Why do I know her?
AKA Bobby Tyler.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Ginny.
Okay.
Zaya Brookside.
Okay.
Former Stardom superstar Blair Davenport.
Ah, yes, yes.
Blair Davenport again. That was the Japanese street fight.
Ah.
Then once again, had a back-to-back title wins over the same person. That would be Isla Dawn. That was the...
Okay, I remember that name.
That was the World
of... One?
Yeah, that was the World of Darkness match.
Okay.
Ivy Nile.
Okay.
I don't know that person that well.
She was in the Rumble.
Oh, really?
She's that buff girl that Stokely managed for a little bit.
I mean, that means nothing to me.
She was with
Chris Statlander.
What? No, sorry. I thought she was another person on the list.
No, I know. No. I'm kidding.
She was in that group with the Creed brothers.
I mean, again, this means I don't watch, okay. So this means nothing to me. And then Kelly, can you guess who Mako lost the title to? I didn't know this was a thing, and reading it, it makes me laugh.
I'm going to guess it was some kind of unification for once they got rid of NXT UK. So I'm going to guess Roxanne Perez.
No, it was a unification. Very good. It was a three-way match, a triple threat unification match. Mako Satomura was in the match. Blair Davenport was in the match. But winning that match would be Mandy Rose.
Fantastic.
Beating Mako Satomura. Yeah, maybe Mako just said, I'm tired of losing. I don't want to lose to anyone like Mandy.
Yeah, I don't want to. I lost to Mandy Rose. I don't need to ever lose to anyone else in my life.
Anyway, that was Sarriism 6. a fun show. A fun show, right?
Very fun show.
Very fun show. Recommended. Officially. What else happened in the last 2 weeks of Joshi? Stardom has had some shows. Miyu Amasaki defeated Azusa Inaba to retain the Future of Stardom title. That was on the 25th. On the 26th, Rina defeated Sayori Ano to become the number one contender for the Wonder of Stardom.
That's wild.
Title, yes.
Like, I just don't see it with Rhea.
Well, this is the ultimate chance. She's going to have a Wonder of Stardom title match at a show called The Path of Thunder, I believe.
All right.
What's the show called? We'll be previewing it next episode. It is called Path of Thunder.
Path of Thunder is what I call it when I crop dust somewhere.
Yes.
The Watch Path out, of Thunder, everybody. Here comes the here comes the thunder.
It is, I believe, the only match officially announced for that show is Rhea versus Starlight Kid. So that happened. But then just today, as we record this February 2nd, they had Stardom had their Corican Hall show, setting an attendance record of 1,614, I believe, standing room only.
Great crowd.
Just have to say, the thing I talked about for many, many months on this podcast, that they should put good matches on their Corican Hall shows and they might draw better, has proven to be 100% true.
Wow. That's so crazy. Like, I know. It's just such a wild take that you had turned out to be right. Like, that's
insane. I just put that out there and I'm like, I think this is right. And turned out I was right.
How could you say something so controversial? It's so true.
This show opened, I guess it didn't open. The pre-show match was the two latest rookies in Stardom who have debuted in the last few weeks. Akira Kurogane and Yuriyahime went to a time limit draw. That was an interesting match to watch. It appears, based on their gear, that they really are sort of already established as to maybe not exactly where they're going, but certainly the direction they're going. Akira, in sort of, I would say, God's eye type gear.
Okay.
Sort of with the short, you know, the shorts that they all wear.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to see. I thought a solid match, you know, a sort of rookie time limit draw. So not too much you can take from it, but certainly looking forward to seeing them develop. But probably the big news of the show would be the semi-main and main event of the show. That would be Starlight Kid, Azumi, and Miyu Amasaki winning the Artist of Stardom titles from Tam Nakano, Natsupoi, and Sayori Ano in an excellent match. Yes. Kelly, you watched this match. Did you enjoy it as well?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I went 4 on it. This was a high-speed trios match.
I also very much enjoyed it. I went 4.25 stars. Another match where I was thinking, how did they activate the crowd again?
Yeah.
Because the crowd was into it. The crowd was loud. It was great atmosphere. Maybe it's that they had 1,600 people in the stands. But I was like, where has this been for the past 2 years or something?
I'm telling you, maybe those new fans finally learned how to be a real crowd.
Or maybe all the very quiet fans went to Marigold.
That could be.
It could be, but an exciting match. Good crowd. Definitely one worth watching. But my favorite match of the show was Saya Kamatani beating Suzu Suzuki for the World of Stardom title. I went 4.5 on this match. Kelly, did you like it as well?
I went 4.25. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I really am enjoying heel Saya now. Now that she's kind of toned down on the faces and is just being a mean ass kicker for the most part, I think she's been great and always good to see Suzu in a featured spot for once.
I believe I sent this to you in between this show and the last show, but I believe there was an interview with Saya where she said, "Oh, ever since I've turned heel, many other people have turned heel as well." And almost entirely taking credit for people turning heel in other companies.
Very funny.
Which I thought was very funny and a very heel thing to do, to take credit for a thing that has been happening in wrestling for 100 years.
Yeah.
Maybe. So that was funny, but just really liked the match. Hard hitting, some shoot headbutts, a lot of shoot headbutts on these shows in the past 2 weeks. multiple poison ranas.
Yeah.
some better than others. Some looking actually quite dangerous. So that was enjoyable. The top rope suplex that Suzu
did on
Saya was great. So just an exciting match. Again, the crowd was into it. Liked that they put this sort of on a cork in, and it was a hot show. You know, sort of a match I was not really at any time expecting Suzu to win. But it's perfect for a place like Korakuen. You're not on one of these big shows where you sort of know the outcome. Mm-hmm. But definitely one, I would say, seek out the top two of this show because they are definitely worth watching. And Kelly, we are back already on the road. We just left the road, and the road has come back to us.
Coming right back.
Tom coming out after the match to challenge, which seems absurdly fast for another challenge, especially considering she lost the semi-main.
Yeah.
So coming fresh off a loss to challenge for the title, but we will see what happens there.
And it isn't part of their match going to be that someone from Cosmic Angels has to jump to Hate or something?
I believe, I don't know exactly what the stipulation, and this could be one of those things. Wasn't there a time last year when they were like, oh, it was the unit disbands match? Remember that?
Yeah.
And they were like, here's the stipulation in the wherever they were. I don't remember. And then they like published it, and it was like, no, this stipulation is totally different than what you just said.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting on the official word from Stardom before figuring out what exactly is happening there. But yes, that was Stardom's Korakuen Hall show. So check that out. In Marigold on the 26th, Bozilla beating Tank in a loser leaves town match. Bozilla blew up on Twitter after Bozilla and Tank lost the tag titles, saying that she works better alone and not in a tag. Interested to see where exactly the idea of town applies here. Because they were in a town. I'm assuming this means Tank leaves the country. Because I believe she's not on any shows going forward. But I guess we'll see. Maybe she'll come back and go, well, I lost in that very small town. And I can go wherever I want. Tokyo Joshi had their Max Heart Tournament semifinals on January 25th. Two matches. In the first one, Max the Impaler and Palm Harajuku Palmpaler defeating Wakana Uehara and Yuki Kamifuku in 10 minutes and 37 seconds. And in the main event, Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima defeating Himawari and Shino Suzuki. Two matches I thought were really solid.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would have gone 3.5 on both of them. Nothing blow away, but certainly very solid. Better than a lot of the matches we got in the first and second rounds, I guess you would call them. And will be interesting to see, you know, the finals match now is Masao and Nakajima versus Max the Impaler and Palm Harajuku. Some people who are not usually in the prominent main event spot being asked to step up. Obviously, we know Masao and Nakajima have done it before. But will be interesting to see what kind of match they have. It certainly seems like with Max and Palm that it still would lean comedy. But I'm trying to think of the last big, quote unquote, big show that Tokyo Joshi did that had pretty much a straight like comedy main event.
See, and I don't know if they're going to go comedy at all with how Max and Palm attacked Misao and Nakajima after their match.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they don't. Maybe it's like they've done with Misao before, where it's like, you have a serious match, but we haven't really seen that what that looks like from Palm Harajuku. I mean, what is Palm's... I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, a serious match Palm Harajuku is at.
Maybe Palm will get her own, like, Wasteland Impaler costume.
Oh, that would be fun.
I had Mad Max Palm.
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to look for what the highest regarded Palm Harajuku match is. But the first three listed are 23 on one handicap, Chew Summer Party Tides, and Full of Mizuki Battle Royal.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Which I don't think are serious. Well, there's a few that are up here, but I guess we'll see. We will find out, but that's for our looking ahead portion of the show, which we will be getting to shortly, because that was everything that happened in the last 2 weeks. What is coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi? Well, Stardom has New Blood 18 from the brand new Tokyo Square venue. This is a brand new venue. You will see that as we go through the next 2 weeks, many people are running it now. It is in Itabashi. And so I don't actually know what it looks like, but coming up there, Stardom, obviously running there for New Blood, Ice Ribbon, Wave, Actress Girls, all running there. I'm trying to like find a picture of it, but I'm not seeing anything. Let's see.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from what it looks like on the inside yet.
Yeah, so we will see, but it certainly seems like a place that people are interested in because people are running it quite a lot. But that will be New Blood 18. Sort of look through the card. Wasn't too much. No title match, no tag title match. So it seems like a pretty straightforward New Blood show.
It seems more just like, hey, come see the new venue.
Yeah, and it could be. It could be one of those things where it's like, well, we might as well run this new venue, and maybe people are like, oh, it's a more convenient place for me. I'll go. You could very well be correct with that. Seedling has a show on the 12th of February. Nothing is announced for that show yet. Oz has a show on the 9th of February that has two tag title matches on it. Opening the show will be Bob Bob Momo Banana, Mio Momono, and Eureka Oka, defending the AAAW tag titles against Ryo Mizunami and Sonoko Kato. And then the main event will see FWC, Hazuki and Koguma, defending the Oz tag team titles against the Phantom Limit duo of Akino and Kohaku. So those should be two good matches, sort of bookending that Oz show.
Mm-hmm.
A busy 2 weeks for Tokyo Joshi coming up. On the 8th of February, they have the Max Hart Finals show. The whole card has been announced, and as is follows. Yoshiko Hasegawa, Kaya Torabami, and Chika Nanase will face off against Shino Suzuki, Ivy Steele, and Kira Summer. Yuki Kamifuku will take on Mifu Ashida. Raku and Ram Kaichou will face off against Mihiro Kiryu and Haruna Neko. Arisu Endo will face Wakana Uehara. Miyu Watanabe will face Uta Takami. Yuki Aino will face Haru Kazushiro. Mizuki and Himiwari will team together to face Rika Tatsumi and Toga. And then the two big matches, the semi-main, the international princess title, new champion Suzume will defend against Jada Stone, who is over visiting Tokyo Joshi. And then, of course, as we talked about, the Max Hart Tournament final match will be Max the Impaler and Palm Harajuku versus Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao. Kelly, a lot of sort of interesting matches on this card.
Yeah, a lot of singles matches, which is interesting too.
A lot of singles matches. I'm interested to see Mifu Ishida in a singles match, because I'd like to see sort of where she is in relations to sort of the roster in general. Mm-hmm. I've seen her in some tags, but will be good to see her sort of against Yuki, who I obviously know, to just see what level she is on and see where she can go. Arisu Endo and Wakana Uehara.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Should be exciting. I mean, Miyu and Uda should be good.
Yeah,
really, like lots of interesting stuff. You know, I don't know how interested I am. You know, obviously the Raku and Ram team is sort of interesting outside of the ring. I'm not sure how excited I am to see them go against Mihiro Kiryu and Harun Neko. But other than that, I think a super interesting card will be good to get Suzume a victory, get a defense under her belt for the International Princess title. Kelly, what is your final prediction on who wins the Max Hart tournament?
I'm thinking Max the Impaler wins the Max Hart tournament.
I was just thinking, I was like, well, I don't know how they feel. Maybe they feel, oh, this is just a fun team and we'll never give them a run. I mean, we'll never give them a run with the titles. But I would think now would be the time to do it. Max and Palm, have them win the tournament and have them win the tag titles, frankly. Get a little run out of it. Obviously, you're just beating Miyu and Maki, although so few people beat Miyu that maybe they won't do that. But then it would be easy enough to just give the titles to whoever you want to have them next.
Exactly. Like,
that would be a fairly easy loss. Wouldn't be a big deal. So, yeah, although you have the story of Shoko and Hyper trying to, you know, climb to the top of the mountain. So maybe they do it. It's an interesting final.
Either way, whoever wins should take the tag titles.
Yes. But it's an interesting final, also considering that when we first talked about the tournament, I was like, well, there aren't really that many. I was like, there aren't that many teams I'm crazy about in here. And it's really like two of the three teams I had some interest in are here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Tokyo Joshi also has a show on the 11th of February. The main event of that show will be Hyper Masao teaming with the Up Up Girls, Miyu Watanabe, Raku, Shino Suzuki, and Uta Takami to take on Rika Tatsumi, Yuki Aeno, Wakana Uehara, Palm Harajuku, and Max the Impaler. It was also announced that Miyu, Raku, Shino, Uta, Rika, Yuki, and Wakana will sing at the show solo.
Okay.
So obviously some of them, you know, Miyu, Raku, Shino, and Uta are in the Up Up Girls and usually sing at these shows. But there will be more singing, I guess.
All right.
And then on the 15th is the Bullet Train show that we talked about, I believe, two episodes ago that was announced, their 1-4 show. So that Bullet Train show will be happening. And then that evening, they will have another show with a rematch of the Bullet Train match, but obviously in a regular wrestling ring.
I hope they just do it move for move like it was on the train.
And they just go down a random hallway in the venue. But we will see. That Bullet Train show should be a lot of fun. They usually are. And that should be good. Marigold has a show on the 7th. That will have a Superfly title match. Victoria Yuzuki will defend against Misa Matsui. Sendai Girls has a show on February 8th. That show will have Takumi Aroha versus Mika Iwata, and then will be main evented by Dash Chizako and Chi-Chi going against Mio Momono and Yurika Oka. And then, as mentioned, Ice Ribbon has a show at Tokyo Square on February 11th. That will have two title matches on it, including the recently revived Fantast Ice title.
Oh.
Which has not been defended, I believe, since December of 2021.
Wow.
So it is back. Akane Fujita is still the champion, has not been stripped for whatever reason. But she will defend against Ancham. And then the Triangle Ribbon will be defended. Yuri will defend against Kaori Yoniyama and Arisa Shinose. And then the other show happening, there is an Unagi Sayaka produced show, as Kelly hinted about earlier in the episode, happening on February 16th. That will have Unagi Sayaka facing off against Mako Satomura in a match that I would put a lot of money on that Mako is winning.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assumption.
It seems like Unagi loses fairly often, so this seems like a pretty straightforward one. But that is everything happening in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. Kelly, anything to say about Joshi before we go into the corner?
What an odd way to put it. No, I think I'm all Joshied out and ready to go in the corner.
All right, go in your corner and talk to us.
All right, I'm in the corner now. Okay, lately I've been reading some of the original 1940s Captain America comics. And they are very fun, and sometimes it's nice to read about Nazis getting punched in the face.
Well, I can't disagree with you there. Something maybe we could all enjoy reading at the current time. But that is Kelly's Corner. That is all for us here at Jumping Bomb Audio, but we will be back with you again in 2 weeks' time. We will be talking some Max Hart finals. We'll be talking, hopefully, the Bullet Train show and much more. So until then, see you later.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media. We talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture. And we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.